just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water. Hurry up, Tyler!
It turns out there's more excitement than ever. Here I go. I stay in a hotel that doesn't just have a pool.
Somebody order a pizza?
It's in a pool, deep in a mangrove lagoon. Then it's underwater to fix a bridge.
You're hot.
Wow.
It takes tools that make fire in the cold ocean depths.
That's so cool.
And I collect never-before-seen life forms from the deepest, darkest places in the sea.
Could there be any, like, sea monsters or really big creatures down there?
Plus, Charlie uses weights, styrofoam, salt, and airbags to become a human submarine.
I need a break.
It's Popular Mechanics for Kids in deep water.
And today we're going to explore some of the wildest, most uncharted regions of our planet.
Hey, Alicia.
Our oceans hide some of the Earth's greatest mysteries, filled with creatures we have yet to discover.
Hey, Lish.
The deep, murky waters hide secrets from our past, present, and future. Two-thirds of the Earth is covered in water.
Felicia Miser.
Each year, fishermen from around the world find new breeds of fish and aquatic life trapped in their nets.
What's up, girlfriend?
Hey, Tyler, what are you doing?
Just bringing my things to my room.
Where's your room, Atlantis?
Alicia, we're nowhere near Georgia. Anyways, I gotta grab my last specs.
This, I gotta see.
I'm checking out this hotel, and it's not just any hotel. It's the world's first and only underwater hotel, right here in this man-made lagoon. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Tyler. How you doing?
Good, and you?
Well, we're a little short-staffed today. Would you like to join on?
No problem. What can I do?
Well, we're going to have you swim the luggage down, okay? I'll meet you down there later.
All right.
Okay?
Sounds great.
Let's go.
This waterproof suitcase carries what the guests will need for the night. And because the air and clothes inside are lighter than the water, we'll have to attach weights to the bottom so it'll sink. The lodge is 7 meters or 23 feet under, so the only way to get there is to swim. So you can use this hookah line and this pony pack to get down there and to explore around. Okay, here I go. The hookah line gives you air to breathe and it's attached to the hotel so you don't get lost. Look at those fish. Awesome. There's the hotel. It's called Jules Undersea Lodge. It's named after Jules Verne, the writer of the book 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. You enter the hotel from the bottom by swimming up through this moon pool. The hotel doesn't fill with water because the air in here is trapped. It's like when you wash dishes in the sink. If you put a glass upside down, it doesn't fill up with water. The air takes up space. And it's the air pressure, basically the weight of the air pushing down on the water, that prevents the water from coming in. Same thing with the lodge. Air hoses keep it filled with air at a strong enough pressure to make sure that water doesn't get in. When the guests arrive, they shower and change into dry clothes. This place is awesome. It's got two guest rooms and a common area. Oh, check out the view. And they've even got a telephone. You can phone anywhere in the world. And they got a TV and VCR. You can watch all your favorite movies. And they have a stereo to blast those tunes. And they even have a fridge and a microwave, so you can prepare meals and snacks.
Actually, Tyler, you have to swim up to the surface and get the supplies for dinner. But before you do that, you have to take out the garbage, clean the windows, make the beds, and wash down the shower, okay? Okay.
Life and luxury at this hotel depend on this cable. It delivers fresh air, fresh water, power, and communications.
So what would happen if the power went out?
Well, we have a command van topside, which is monitored 24/7. Backup generator, so if anything were to happen, it's taken care of within a couple of minutes.
Oh.
Miss Spot, hey, don't forget to take out the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, look at it down here. This is the kind of sightseeing hotel guests do during their stay. The Mangrove Lagoon is a great home for all kinds of sea creatures. The mangrove trees that grow here protect the lagoon from storms. They prevent larger fish from getting in and making a meal out of some of these guys. And the trees are a great source of food. Let's see if they'll eat my bread. They even put an anchor and an old cannon down here. This is great out here. I could swim all day.
Hey, Tyler, clean the windows.
Marine life grows on everything. That's why I have to clean this window with a mild abrasive pad.
There you go. Put some red plankton here. Down here. There you go. Good. Okay.
All right. Brought the supplies. Now it's time to take out the garbage. Normally, they swim garbage up in a case, but I figured out a faster way. Now I just have to take it to shore.
Sure, Tyler, since you joined our staff today, we finished early, so take the rest of the day off.
All right. Looks like while I wait for the guests to arrive, I'll just sit back, watch some TV, and order a pizza.
Somebody order a pizza? Is this for you?
I hope we didn't put on any anchovies.
There's some really mysterious large animals that live down there, like the giant squid that gets up to 60 feet long.
If you thought Jurassic Park was cool, wait until you see the amazing creatures that are living right now on the ocean floor. That's later on PMK. Sharks are vicious predators. So how can this diver lead an underwater tour of their home? Some people think he hypnotizes the sharks, but actually, he's trained them. Every day, the diver comes down to feed them and to pet them. Sharks are smart, and these ones have learned that if they let the diver touch them, he'll reward them with a snack. They train dolphins the same way. And that 10-pound chainmail suit the diver's wearing? It's for protection, in case they get a little too hungry. These are tiny glass tubes. They're as thin as a hair. They are called fiber optic cables. They're buried underground and lie on the ocean floor. They're used to carry communication signals, like your phone conversation and your internet connection. They can carry an email around the world in a couple of seconds. Thousands of people drive across this bridge every day. It has to be safe. If they get damaged or worn out, pieces of the bridge could collapse. People could die. John here teaches people how to make repairs underwater.
Hi, Tyler. Yes, that's correct. Sometimes underwater welding can be used to repair dams, bridges. Let's go take a look.
I'm up for it.
Working in water takes some very special equipment.
This helmet has an umbilical hose from the surface for an unlimited air supply.
This helmet is equipped with a video camera and a two-way intercom system, so we can always be in touch with each other. And the surface team can see what we see on the video. First, we're gonna go down to check out the damage.
Diver on the bottom.
The water flow and the current over the years have chipped away at the concrete and the stone, and that can make the bridge unstable. We're gonna try and replace this concrete that was washed away. We're gonna do it by welding a metal retaining wall around the column and filling it with fresh concrete.
Okay, Tyler, let's go back to the shop. I'll show you how to make some fire underwater. Let's go.
We're gonna weld two joints together before we do it underwater, where it's gonna be a lot more difficult. Welding is a way of melting two pieces of metal together, making one solid piece. But it takes incredible heat, and the heat comes from this white stick. Actually, it's called an electrode. We zap the electrode with electricity, and it melts into a liquid hotter than lava.
Ready to go try it in the water?
You bet I am. All right, we're ready to start welding. There's enough electricity in these cables to give me a serious shock, so I have to be careful. One end of the cable is clamped onto the metal sheet we'll be working on, while the other holds the electrode. If I got into the welding circuit between these two cables, it could be fatal. Welding gets so bright, I have to cover my eyes with a safety visor, or else they'll get damaged.
Make it hot.
Hot. You're hot.
Roger. Wow, that's awesome.
Bet you're wondering how we can weld underwater. When the electrode touches the metal surface, it forms an electric arc, but it doesn't get wet. The heat is so extreme, it actually pushes water away from the tip. And the hot electrode creates a gas pocket, and that keeps water away as well.
Make it cold.
Make it cold.
Cold.
You're cold.
Now it's my turn to weld.
All right. Hey, visor's down. Make it hot. That is so cool.
Make it cold. It's cold.
Confirmed, it's cold. Roger that. We're done.
Now, the construction crew fills the metal frame with fresh concrete to make the bridge stronger.
That was amazing. Just the fact that there was fire underwater and it's so hot. That's just so cool.
Great job, Tyler.
Thanks.
Hey, do you mind? I'm trying to relax over here.
Sorry about that, kid.
That's okay.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to the golf course this afternoon, and I need all those golf balls. You know, if you picked them up for me, I could make it worth your while.
I could use some extra money. You got yourself a deal.
Break.
Oh, I need these things to help me float around. But there is a place where I wouldn't need any help floating. This is the Dead Sea. It is the saltiest sea on Earth. So salty, people can float in the water. They float because of buoyancy. Buoyancy is when the water holds you up. But why is it easier to float in salty water than it is to float in the pool?
I will sacrifice my lunch to give you the answer.
When I put this egg in a glass of water, it actually pushes away the amount of water equal to the egg's size. The egg is taking up space where the water used to be. Scientists would say it's displacing the water. But since the egg is heavier than the water, it sinks. By adding salt to the water, it makes it heavier. Now the water the egg displaces is heavier than the egg. And the egg floats. Woo-hoo!
Hey, kid, break's over. Get back to work.
Yeah.
Because I'm lighter than the water I'm displacing, it's a lot harder to stay at the bottom of the pool. Hey, wait a minute. I have an idea.
Divers wear weight belts like this to keep them from floating to the surface. Now I'm too heavy. I'm having trouble coming back up. It would be a lot easier if I were more like a fish.
A lot of fish have air sacs inside their bodies. The fish can actually expand their sacs when they want to rise and shrink their sacs when they want to dive.
Divers can actually do the same thing using one of these. It's a buoyancy control device, or a BCD. If the divers want to rise to the surface, they fill their vests with air, like this. If they want to dive, they simply let the air out of the vest, and the weight belt helps them sink.
Thanks, kid. I gotta go. I got a 4 o'clock tea time.
Excuse me, aren't you forgetting a little something?
Oh, yeah, right. Here you go.
Oh, no.
I'm off to the deepest, darkest region of the sea, where sunlight fades to blackness and plants can no longer grow. I'm joining these scientists on a mission to discover and capture forms of life most people have never seen before. We're outside of Monterey Bay on the coast of California. Beneath us is the deepest underwater canyon on this side of the continent.
It reaches depths of more than 3,000 meters, or 10,000 feet. That's the length of 8 Empire State Buildings.
To go where no humans can possibly dive, we're sending this remotely operated vehicle, or ROV.
The ROV is equipped with 2 video cameras, lights so we can see, and a mechanical arm to collect all those amazing creatures. You control the arm from inside the boat. Once the ROV is lowered into the water, I get to pilot it away from the boat so it can dive.
Once the thrusters are below the water, you're gonna ask for hydraulics up and bypass. So right about now.
Hydraulics up and bypass.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, I'll stop there. Yeah, Matt, go ahead and release.
All right.
An umbilical line attached to the ROV feeds it with power, so the lights and the video cameras will send us images of what's happening below.
I control the ROV camera from here, while Canute pilots the ROV down past the canyon walls here. The area halfway down to the ocean floor is called the midwater, and that's where animals like squid and octopus live, and some of them have transparent bodies to help them hide from their predators.
What's that jellyfish doing?
Every once in a while we'll see it pulse, and you'll see these fine tentacles flare out. They create like a fishing net for catching small planktonic animals.
Could there be any like sea monsters or really big creatures down there that we don't know about?
There's some really mysterious large animals that live down there, like the giant squid. There's one species that gets up to 60 feet long.
Wow.
So there are lots of things that are like sea monsters that live down there. We just know very little about them.
Cool.
The deep sea animals we collect don't have lungs or air-filled spaces in their bodies like we do, so they don't get crushed under the intense water pressure. There's something I've never seen.
So what is it exactly?
They're really bizarre animals. They're kind of like a deep sea Venus flytrap. They sit down with their mouth open, and they wait for something to swim in, and then they'll close up and eat it.
Can they like swim away from you, or?
No, they're stuck to the wall.
Oh, really? So are you gonna pick it up?
Yeah, we're gonna try to pick it up right now.
So this is just kind of like grabbing one of them stuffed animals in those arcade games.
Yeah, it's a lot like it, but it takes a lot more skill.
Using the mechanical arm to collect samples is a challenge. Missed that piece of coral? The canyon wall collapsed. This kind of starfish has never been seen before. We just discovered something new. We'll use the mechanical arm to collect it and to bring it to the surface to study at the aquarium. Now it's time to bring it up to see what we've collected.
Who's that sea star that we've never seen before?
Wow!
We're taking them to their new home at the Monterey Bay Aquarium, where they're studied and then put on display in their Mysteries of the Deep exhibit for the public. Scientists are already using what they've learned from deep sea life to produce new medicines for fighting cancer and other deadly diseases.
I feel like a modern day explorer. Thanks for a great adventure.
Your own problem, Tyler.
That's an awesome hotel! Yeah.
We lost you for a while. Where were you?
I was out back watering the garden.
Oh, wait. I forgot to turn off the tap in the bathtub. Who cares? Wait. I got a great idea.
What?
Okay. We'll keep the air in these, and then we'll go underwater and have an air pistol fight. That way, when we come back up,
will be as dry as a bone.
Tyler, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. What we need are these babies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Prepare to dry.
All right.